Welcome to the Pride of Detroit podcast, PODcast, Detroit Lions in the house for PrideOfDetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. We are SB Nation for everything about the Detroit Lions. That's why we're here. We're talking about football. We're talking about the pigskin. We're talking about the gridiron and griddles and tailgating and football. Everything you want about the team from Detroit. They're called the Detroit Lions. That's why they're called that. I am Chris Lemieux at Adequate Host. The Adequate Host in the house here. Joining me, as always, Jeremy Reisman, the fearless leader at Detroit on Lion, being fearless in his leadership. I'm sorry, wait, I called you the wrong name.
You did. I was going to step in, but it's rude to interrupt.
Is it? Is it? Does it, like, it impact the spiritual energies? Is that the excuse you have?
Yes, I wanted to let your aura flow naturally, and I did not want to...
Well, what's your name now? What is your name?
I go by Discovery.
Jeremy, Discovery is back with us after a trip in... where were you, Discovery?
It was in a... I was at a Quaker Center that was... by Santa Cruz, which is Northern California, basically in the middle of a redwood forest for a weekend for a wedding.
You were there for a wedding. Was Discovery the name that was on your place card at dinner?
It wasn't to begin the weekend, but I had them change it.
Oh, okay. Good.
So you're back from a wedding. I'm back from a wedding, although I obviously did not get the full spiritual awakening here. I came back from... basically a place that looked like a farmhouse. And that final voice there is Ryan Matthews. Back is the motherfucking rock guy. At Ryan underscore POD, who did not go to a wedding, who steered our ship, the Pride of Detroit's ship, while both of us were just completely gone.
A lot of hands on deck. A lot of hands on deck for the weekend. Shout out Andrew Cotto. Shout out Kent Platt. I'm not shouting out Alex Reno. He did almost nothing to help me. He's not here tonight. So
he's not here on the he's not here on the podcast.
I don't even really know what kind of purpose he serves for like 11 months out of the year. I guess we'll see him when draft season comes around again.
Yep.
Guys, just spread the love, all right?
Okay, chill out, Discovery.
Chill out. I'm calling you Jeremy again. I can't keep doing
this. Don't you dare call him by his suburban name.
His meat flesh name. I must call him his star name.
Jeremy's name is Discovery when he's out like tilling his garden in the nude. He wants to feel closer to nature.
You act like tilling my garden in the nude is the only activity I do nude. In fact, the only time that I wear clothes is for this podcast.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for doing that, though.
Well, if you did not blog in the nude, I would be very disappointed. Like, we have an image as bloggers to upkeep.
Yeah, and since I'm not in anyone's basement, you know, I have to overcompensate elsewhere.
This was a mistake. This whole podcast was a mistake. If you can tell, it's the middle of the off season right now. We've got some Lions stuff coming up. We're going to be talking about the rookies. Rookie minicamp was this week. None of us got invited. None of us went.
No.
Well, even if we had... I believe the Lions beat had 10 minutes of the first day of minicamp to attend to, and it was only individual drills, so no one really knows what happened.
I wonder what those 10 minutes are like. Like, do you think they have a timer that's like ticking down, like a doomsday clock for them to like get the hell out of there? Do you think somebody has like a stopwatch and they're just like, okay, you're done, go. Get out of here.
You think if a photographer lingers a little longer, they just snatch his camera, throw it to the ground. No photos.
I think they hiss at him. They're like, scat! Get out of here!
I'm thinking, like, you have 10 minutes, and if they can see you with 0 seconds on the clock, then Bob Quinn comes at you with his bat.
Yeah, you gotta be invisible by then. You gotta...
And since Dave Burkett is, like, a workaholic, he's, like, the only one there, like, still scribbling notes with 5 seconds to go while, like, Mikey leads the pack out of the way.
Yeah. Dave's probably the fastest.
Well, Dave's probably the only one who wears, like, athletic gear. He, like, wears, like running shorts. Because he knows that Quinn's gonna be, like, propelled out of a corner with a baseball bat.
Oh, yeah, he's prepared. He's ready to go.
Ooh, you know who else is ready to go?
Mm.
Us on this podcast.
Okay, Okay, so we've gotten, let's see here, I'm just kind of doing the introduction rundown to welcome us all back. We're done with Ryan's reign, we're done with Jeremy's trip. Coming up on Wednesday, Ryan and myself will be at Taste of the Lions up in Detroit. If any of y'all are going to that event, you might see us up there. Are we both going? Is that what's happening, Jeremy?
Yeah, I believe that's the plan. And just for those who don't know what the event is, it's a chance to meet and talk with local... to meet and talk with players while also enjoying a bunch of kind of prestige local food, including Slows is going to be there this year. If I'm not mistaken, as of Monday, there's still tickets available. And everything I hear about this event is very positive. So if you're on the fence about it and you have the disposable income, I would definitely recommend it, even though I've never personally been. But I think you two are going to have a lot of fun there.
We will. We both like food. We'll both take plenty of pictures. We'll be like Carrie Van Horn.
Sure. The other thing that's really cool about the event, too, is I think an awful lot of money gets donated as well.
Slows is going to be there, although I'm sure someone will chime off in the comments to tell us which barbecue in Detroit is better, which always seems to happen every time someone mentions Slows around someone else from Detroit.
Chris, do you have anything that you want to get accomplished by going to this event? Do you have any like goals that you've already thought of? Things that you want to get done?
Getting really full.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, for sure.
Goals that I want to get done. I'm not... Let's see. There's no one there I really hate enough to scream in their face.
Jeremy, you picked a perfect person to send from the team.
I don't think. See, I don't want to act like a starstruck kid around the players. Is the problem? So I don't know. Are we going to be? We're not going to be trying to grill the players. I will probably try to rub hands with some of the Detroit Lions media, as Ryan did last time.
They're really nice guys, actually. Like, I mean, Burkett went out of his way to introduce himself to me. Michael Rothstein did the same thing.
Yeah, I want to meet them, so we can, you got me the, we can figure that out. Yeah.
I have a couple of things I want. Like, if I don't walk out of there with a big blue donut, then something wrong has happened.
Oh, will they have the donuts?
I don't know. Maybe they should. If they don't, then, I mean, was it worth the price of admission? Number two... Since my birthday is coming up this week, I'm going to try to seek out Ziggy Ansah and crack a birthday joke.
What?
I'm going to tell him, I'll be like, I'm turning 26, wink, wink, 28.
Oh, Jesus.
26? I thought this was your quinceanera.
Quinceanera. Yeah, I'm hoping they have burritos at the Taste of Lions event. I've converted to Mexicanism.
Wow. Okay. Barry Sanders is going to be there, though.
Yeah, I think you have to pay extra to talk to Barry, though.
Oh, okay. So we're going to be one of the proles then. Okay, that's fine.
But you're part of the media, so I don't know what that.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of access you have.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have a separate separate section where you're going to be able to talk to a couple players, and then I think after that, it's just like everything's kind of off the record. You can just kind of be one of the people there.
It's going to be fun, though. It's going to be very fun. Let's see. What else do we have on the news? Lion jersey sales are looking good. I think that's no surprise, though. Jeremy, you just put it out there. Fourth highest jersey sales in the past month. Kind of happens when you get new jerseys out there, especially ones that get rid of the black.
I was pleased. I don't think I was really surprised by anything there because, you know, the teams ahead of them are the teams that are always going to be at the top. The Patriots, Cowboys, Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all according to Dick's Sporting Goods, by the way, not NFL.com. Also good to see Matthew Stafford up there. He was fourth, I believe, in the last 30 days. So,
Well, I mean, he's kind of the only one that, I mean, after Calvin Johnson, he's really the only big name I usually see jerseys of anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, he's kind of the only superstar that is really known globally at this point on the team, which is why I think a lot of people sleep on the team overall, is because they don't have that one or two outstanding guys. But he finished the season 46th on Dick's Sporting Goods jersey sales, jumped all the way to fourth now. But again, that you feel like a lot of that doesn't have to do with the team's popularity, but simply just the uniform change.
Who do you see, if anyone, could become that next big name, though, selling jerseys? Or do you just not think, do you think it's because, like, just because of what Detroit is, there's probably not going to be ever more than, like, one name?
That's a really good question.
How high is Aaron Rodgers up on that list?
I'd have to go back and check. Let me see if I can quick.
Because how I think of it is, I mean, the only guy that I could really see breaking out would be Matthew Stafford. And I feel like he has a ceiling that's kind of attached to him because he's from Detroit. Like, I don't think that he would kind of break out of that. I'm not sure if, like, him and Aaron Rodgers, I guess, are necessarily comparable, but I don't know. Like, having Brady near the top and, like, Dak being the quarterback of the Cowboys, like, that automatically puts him at the top. I don't think that being the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers puts you in, like the top five, like it would for, like, Dak Prescott, but...
Right. Yeah, he ranks 21st in the past 30 days, 18th during the season.
I don't know. I think that might be kind of like Stafford's, like... I think that might be the height that Stafford's popularity could reach when it comes to jersey sales. I don't know. Do you guys think so?
I think that's about right. I mean, he would have to have an MVP type of season to really jump anything further than that. If we're talking about any other players that might jump into the conversation, I don't think we're talking any that will be top 10, certainly.
Like, I mean, Slay is insanely good, but I just don't see anyone really recognize the name Darius Slay unless he starts, like, a whole season of just highlight reel interceptions, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he would have to lead the league in interceptions, I think, to really
More than that. He would have to be on, like, SportsCenter every other night, or at least, like, who watches SportsCenter anymore? I mean, like, you know what I mean, though? Like, people are, like, just going nuts over his plays on Twitter or something.
I feel like he isn't... It's weird to say this because he is a pretty, like, outspoken guy and, like, he doesn't shy away from saying what he wants to say, but I don't think he's, like, outspoken in that way that would get him a lot of, like, national attention. Unless the Lions, I think it has a lot to do with the Lions being relevant and winning football games eventually and kind of reaching that, like, you know, you made it status, but I don't know. Like, when I think of, like, cornerbacks who have, like, high-selling jerseys, like, who are those guys? Like, I mean, like, Deion Sanders sold a lot of jerseys, I'm assuming, but He was, like, a special teams guy with punt returns and everything, too, so...
Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
I mean...
The interesting thing, too, is, like, what of those teams that are, like, above the Lions that are always, like, near the top in jersey sales, how many of those teams have undergone the jersey redesign, too, though?
That's true.
I know the Seahawks have, for sure.
Right. Yeah, and I guess another name to consider, and he's 21st in jersey sales over the past 30 days is Golden Tate. Butt flip kind of drew a lot of national attention, especially it being against the Vikings, who were 4-5-1 at the time or something like that. But to me, I mean, if we're talking about a breakout star, and I don't think he can do it all in one season, we have to talk about Amir Abdullah, right?
Well, he needs to. I mean, he was already kind of having some of those highlight reel runs, especially in, like, you know, his rookie year preseason and that first game where he broke Eric Weddle's legs.
That was his first carry from scrimmage.
Yep.
So I mean, if he does more of those things, absolutely.
All right, we should probably take a quick break there. We got some fun stuff coming up on the podcast. Let's take a break. We're going to talk about some rookies next, I think. Not quite. We're done with the draft. It's been done for a while, but this is after rookie minicamp, and we want to talk about just how much to really expect from rookies. I think, Jeremy, you have some predictions written down here. I'm going to go over them and kind of throw to you guys some over-under stuff. And we'll take care of that and more here on the Pride of Detroit podcast. Continuing on here on the Pride of Detroit podcast, this show's going to be a little shorter one. I think we don't really have too much to really talk about, but we want to talk about the rookies. Let's talk. So how do you want, we need to start thinking about what the rookies can realistically accomplish going into next year, especially since the default format for everyone after draft is, we talked about it before, it's talk yourself up on the prospect. All these guys will start, all will play meaningful roles, and that's just not really going to be the reality of the situation. But I think it is interesting to think about these things as far as what are the expectations, as far as certain stats, certain things that these guys can do, who will actually be starting, not all of them, but who, how many there are, and, like, really what really makes a successful draft, really.
Yeah,
which is hard. Which is hard enough to say because it's a multi-year project.
You should never really judge a draft class by how they do in their rookie year. And I tried to heed this warning last year, and it turned out to be wrong. Really, in that I didn't think the Lions were going to get much out of their rookie draft class last year. I thought Taylor Decker was obviously going to start. I thought at the time at right tackle, but you know, I even underestimated him. He ended up playing every snap at left tackle. Being a lot better than anyone expected. But past him, like, I figured A'shaun would play a rotational role, and that's really about it. But I think last year was an anomaly, and also probably a look into how shallow the Lions' roster was last year. They also dealt with a fair share of injuries. So I'm going to go ahead and say heed the same warning. I wouldn't expect that much out of this draft class. Again, you'll see Jared Davis start immediately, probably at middle linebacker, but you could argue that there are no other starters on the team, at least to start the season. So what I did, and I don't care if I introduce these questions or you do, adequate host, but I put a question, kind of like a bar to set for all 9 of the Lions draft picks, and I want you guys to say whether they'll pass that bar, whether they'll come short of that bar. Basically, what are your expectations and predictions for each one of these draft picks?
Well, why don't I introduce it then, because I want to hear your answer on some of these things, too.
Okay.
Because I know you tend to be pretty bearish when it comes to Lions' expectations. So I want the fans to get mad at you.
You mean that in terms of, like, the financial term, not, like, the Chicago Bears, right?
Yes, the financial term. That I almost said bullish, because that's the only time I tend to use these words. But I do mean bearish as in, like, yeah, just you tend to be very, very reserved when it comes to what you expect.
I guess at this point they're kind of synonyms, though.
No, not opposite. Bullish is completely opposite.
No, I mean bearish and Chicago bearish.
Oh, yes, well.
I don't know. They gave a lot of money to Mike Glennon. That wasn't very bearish of them.
Yeah, that was not bearish at all. Yes.
But it was bearish at the same time.
But it was, yes. Yeah, capital B. Capital bearish. B. Yes. I think we've got a new system here. All right, let's start off here. Let's start with Jared. Jared, am I saying the name right?
You
I almost
nailed
said
Gerard.
Oh my God, Jared Davis. Where will Davis finish among the Lions in tackles in 2017?
So I threw out this question. I thought about setting the over-under at 2nd in team tackles. I think he could very well finish 1st. Obviously, Tahir Whitehead led the team last year and was one of the leading tacklers in the league, but a lot of that had to do with how bad the rest of the offense was and how bad he was in coverage, so he was just kind of getting cleanup tackles. I think he finishes at least 2nd, for sure.
In just total tackles?
In total tackles on the team. Because, I mean, middle linebacker, you're going to get the most opportunities, and assuming he doesn't get injured, he's going to have the most opportunities. So I would even wager to say he'll probably finish 1st.
Yeah, in my bold predictions article that I put up, that apparently they weren't so bold, but whatever. I'm progressively getting a little bit better at these each time I put one out. But
it's not bold to a certain breed of the Kool-Aid. Yes.
Yeah, it's a very fine line that you have to straddle. But anyways, so with Jared Davis, I said that he would play more snaps than any linebacker that was drafted in the 2017 draft class. I think that that is a little bit bold, considering the guy only had one season where he played every single game, and that was his junior season. And the other thing that stuck out to me about his junior season is that he had 11 tackles for loss. So I was kind of tiptoeing back and forth. I was kind of hem-hawing whether or not I would say that he would lead the league in snaps for all the rookie linebackers. I went back and forth with that, and whether or not he would lead the Lions in tackles for a loss. So I think for Jeremy's prediction, would he lead the team in tackles? I think that is a fair assumption. If he stays healthy, I think he's going to have the most opportunities, especially with his, you know, his ranginess and his athletic prowess. So, but at the same time, let me throw it back to you, Jeremy. Do you think that he has a chance to lead the team in tackles for loss, or do you think that the Lions will use him in a different way?
That's a tricky question because of two things. One is that tackles for loss is not an official stat in the NFL. There are sites that track it, mm-hmm. So you know we'll be able to pretty much to see if he does or doesn't.
Yeah.
But I would guess no. I'm not seeing him as a guy who's going to be shooting through the gap that often. I see him more as, you know, the quarterback of the defense. He's going to be making sure nothing gets by him in terms of things over the middle, in terms of running backs getting to the third level. I just don't see him splitting the offensive line too often, so I would say no, he's not going to finish first.
All right, next one up there. Tease Tabor, over under 6 starts in 2017. I'm going to actually probably... So how are you classifying a start here, Jeremy?
Well, let's just assume as one of the top two cornerbacks, since the nickel corner isn't necessarily considered a starting position by some outlets.
Okay. Under. I think he'll be in rotation, but they probably won't give him a lot of starting minutes out of the gate. Like, if I remember, how many starts did A'shaun Robinson have last year?
Probably around that number, I would guess.
Yeah, so... And I think right now they'd probably start Nevin Lawson just a little more. So 5 is where I'm putting it. So just under.
I think the learning curve is so steep for cornerbacks too. You really don't see them start to perform, you know, up to their potential until year 2, maybe even year 3. I know if memory serves me right, Darius Slay had a pretty good rookie season, but then he kind of took a step back his sophomore year. And I know those things can be pretty contextual, too. So a lot of, you know, and Kent Platt had an article about this come out over the weekend. I think a lot of Tabor's success is going to be predicated on how well, you know, the Lions front 7 plays. So I think I agree with Chris, though. I don't see Nevin Lawson getting pushed out really at all this season. I would kind of be shocked if Tabor start maybe more than 3 or 4 games because of injury.
Yeah, I'll join you all there and also take the under. Darius Slay is a good bar to set. He started 4 games in his rookie season, and I think a lot of people thought he did a pretty good job. Played in 13, 5 passes defended, 34 total tackles. A'shaun started 5 games last year. So yeah, we're talking second round, early second round picks usually play somewhere between 3 and 6 starts per in the rookie year.
So barring any catastrophic injury, I mean, I don't see him playing more than 5 games starting.
And you brought up the 2 big points, and one in that cornerback is a high learning curve, and then we saw last week Pro Football Focus was kind of like on a mission to defend Nevin Lawson
for whatever reason. That was really weird.
Yeah, he was one of the least targeted cornerbacks in the league last year, and he also. I think of his draft class is what I think he's averaging the fewest yards per route run or something like that.
Yeah, per coverage snap. Yeah,
per coverage snap. All right. So he deserves some time.
Kenny Golladay, true or false? Golladay will finish with the 3rd most receptions on the team. I have no answer to this. I just want to say that I love that his Instagram is Kenny G19. You thought it was a Kenny G thing, but G19 is a Glock. I'm also going to say false.
That's ominous.
I think it's pretty cool that we have G19 and the M80 both on the offense.
We're stocking up on firearms here.
Hey, we need offensive weapons without Anquan Boldin on the team. Well, click, click, boom. Wait, click, click, boom. What was that? Who is that?
The POD. The POD cast.
That was perfect. Okay. For Kenny Golladay, will he finish true or false with the 3rd most receptions on the team? I'm going to say false. I think that's going to be Eric Ebron. I think Eric Ebron might finish with the 2nd most receptions on the team.
So I was saying 3rd because I think less than 3rd because 3rd is going to be our beautiful boy from
Chase Billingsley
from Winnemucca. Yeah.
I love that. That'd be. I wouldn't know what the Lions season would look like if that stat bore itself out. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going false. Also, I think 4th behind Tate, behind Ebron and behind Marvin Jones, who I think a lot of people are sleeping on.
Yeah. Michael Roberts, over under 4 receiving touchdowns in 2017.
Over. Give me the way over. Way over.
I think
he's going to catch 8.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Wow. See, I would think that they probably are still going to lean on Ebron for those red zone packages, so I was going to
I'm going to take the over.
You think they're going to use him a lot more in red zone?
I think that's where he's going to earn his keep. Absolutely. I mean that
okay.
It was really interesting because, I mean, Bolden was such a weapon in the red zone for the Lions. I mean, he led the team in receiving touchdowns last year. And they went out and they drafted a guy who was 6'4" in Galladay, and then they drafted another big guy with huge hands, Michael Roberts. So what does that say? I mean, they got two guys that figure to be red zone targets. So I think over 4.
I just don't think this is quite a Joseph Fourier situation yet. I think this guy's going to be a more well-rounded guy, and he probably won't really even get into the starting lineup, I think, until at least week 4 or 5. I said starting lineup. I didn't mean starting lineup. I mean as like the number 2 guy, getting any sort of significant snaps, even in the red zone. And it takes a while to develop a working relationship with Matthew Stafford, and I don't see it being more than 4 touchdowns, so I'll take the under as well.
So, I want to throw this to Ryan since he's in on Michael Roberts, and I kind of agree with his thinking about it, but then since we just talked about like where players are going to stand as far as ranking for receptions, where do you see Michael Roberts in your ideal world over 4 touchdowns? Where do you see him ranking in receptions among the Lions?
I think it'll be really low. Like, say he ends up with 4 receiving touchdowns, he could finish with like 13 receptions on the year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to.
So you're seeing something like 8 touchdown receptions, 20 total receptions, something like that.
I think that he's primarily going to be a red zone package guy, unless you want to bring him in. They run some kind of like 2 tight or 3 tight end set. I mean, unless they're doing something in like short yardage situations, like, midfield for like a 3rd and 1 or a 2nd and 3 or something like that. I don't see him getting many snaps outside the red zone.
That said, your scenario will probably cast a pall as far as Eric Ebron, because people will just see no touchdowns for Eric Ebron in that kind of situation. So, but people are kind of dumb to those stats. So let's see who else we got on here. Jalen Reeves Maybin. Will Jalen Reeves Maybin start a single game in 2017?
I think he will. I think he will start at least one, because I don't know how secure Tyre Whitehead's job is. I mean, beyond Jared Davis as the starting middle linebacker, I'm not 100% sold that Whitehead's going to keep his job. Now, do I think he can? Do I think he's much better served playing on the outside? Absolutely. Like, I think that you saw a lot of his deficiencies be exposed when he had to make that shift and play middle linebacker. I do think he's a better outside option, but at the same time, I could definitely see Jalen, I could definitely see Maybin coming in there and making an impact. And I don't know if about sealing the job, but I mean, there were so many injuries last year with linebackers, and you got to think about how much depth they really have behind those two guys. Say Jared Davis gets hurt, knock on wood, but then Tyre Whitehead all of a sudden moves over to the middle. I mean, are they fully in on Antoine Williams? He's more of an inside guy. I mean, I don't know.
That was kind of where I'm going to say yes to, is it's not from the Whitehead side. It's from the other side of like, it's from the strong side. And I mean, they had Antoine Williams play there a little bit, I believe, but I think Maybin could probably steal a start, given probably how injuries pan out, or probably if there's like just a guy not playing up to snuff, they will try to start him in a game. So yes,
I'm gonna say no, and
a lot
the
of
reasoning
faith.
Is
a lot of faith in the health of the linebackers.
Think it is.
Really,
I don't think it is. I mean, you guys didn't mention Paul Warlow, but he's there and he's a versatile guy, and I know he's not great, but he's the guy that if the Lions need someone to contribute right away, he's prepared to do it. Jalen Reeves-Maybin is not. This is a guy that needs, I think, a year to just contribute on special teams, get used to the things. And like, if the Lions are in a situation where they were last year, where every single one of their backup linebackers got injured, then sure, Jalen Reeves-Maybin will get in there. But otherwise, I don't see it happen.
All right, Jamal Agnew, true or false, Agnew will return a punt in 2017.
Man, go ahead, Chris.
How many, I'm just going to say, we didn't really have a lot of punt returns last year. So I'm going to say false. Like, I know we got some great special teams, but don't see it happening.
Who's going to be our punt returner?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Okay, I was thinking
not for a touchdown.
Different as, yes, that's what I was thinking in my head. Let's try not to, okay. Someone else answer while I try not to fuck this up.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
I put this question out here because it's really tough for me, because I have no idea who has the lead on the punt return job right now. It seems like it's the most wide open position on the team, and granted, it's not as important as any real starting position. I'm very intrigued by this training camp battle, and I think he has as good a shot as any, but it feels weird to me to kind of put my hopes on a rookie out of a small school like Agnew.
Yeah, Jeremy, see, I think that Agnew's spot on the roster is going to come at the expense of either Johnson Bademosi or Don Carey, and two of those guys, both of them being special teams aces, I think that they're going to make the team before Agnew does, because I definitely think that Jace Billingsley is going to make the team this year. And I think that they've shown that, you know, that, you know, the punt return job is open for the taking, and he was back there, you know, taking punts during preseason last year, during training camp, during the open scrimmage that we were at. So I definitely think that if he's on the team, then that opens up the ability to keep those other two guys that play in the defensive backfield. It keeps Bademosi on the team. It keeps Don Carey on the team. I think those guys are more valuable, you know, playing gunner on special teams than having Agnew. And he's a guy who I don't think that they would trust right out of the gate, being a guy that they would throw into a situation where Johnson Bademosi, at least he came in last year in the Houston game. He had the interception. He was on DeAndre Hopkins. He didn't do a whole lot. I mean, granted, how much of that has to do with Brock Osweiler, but I think it's beside the fact. I don't see him making the team this year. I think he's going to be a practice squad guy.
I'm saying no for Agnew because I think I'm with Ryan. I'm actually, my universe is basically like everything Jace Billingsley. So Billingsley superstar here. So no Agnew.
I both agree and disagree with Ryan in that I disagree that I think he's making the roster. I found a way to fit him, Don Carey, and Johnson Bademosi on the team with a 53-man roster prediction that I had a couple weeks ago. But I do not really see him making the game day roster of 46. I view him as one of those first seven out in terms of inactive on game day. So, yeah, in that case, I think the Lions would rather carry four on a game day roster than, you know, 9 or 10 defensive backs on the game day roster. So, yeah, I would give the edge to someone on offense. I don't know whether that means it's Billingsley or TJ Jones or whoever, but it doesn't seem to make sense to keep that many defensive backs on the game day roster, though I think he'll make the 53 pretty easily, actually.
Cool.
All right, continuing, let's see here. Who else we got here? Jeremiah Ledbetter. Bedwetter. Over under, 10 tackles in 2017. Under.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chris. I think under, too. They added Cornelius Washington. They added Akeem Spence. They added Jordan Hill from Seattle, too. I think they have too many guys. I'm not sure if Ledbetter makes a team. And if he does, then I don't think he sees a field.
This is a really tough one for me too, because I also had to make the 53-man roster, but man, I don't know what to expect out of Jeremiah Ledbetter at all. He's the kind of guy that he brings some special team skills. I think he's a quick guy, especially as a defensive tackle. So, you know, he could be in on some special team snaps, and I don't like the current set of Lions defensive tackles at all. Really, I mean, I'm not a fan of Akeem Spence, and outside of him and Haloti Ngata, your starter, your other guys, like you said, Jordan Hill, Kyree Thornton, and that's really it. So, I don't know. I feel like Ledbetter has a way, and for a fifth round pick or sixth round. For a sixth round pick, I think he has a pretty easy route to the 53 man roster, but I don't know. Like 10 tackles is probably above any sort of real estimation, but I'll just say over just for the hell of it, I mean, because I don't know.
You think he has a pretty...
This is a really bad defensive line.
You think he has a pretty easy route? I mean, you have Ansa,
for a
sixth
round pick.
Oh, for a sixth round pick, yes. Okay. Because I think that there's tons of guys ahead of him.
Well, I have... Let's see. I had 11 defensive linemen making the final 53, which admittedly is a lot, but I believe they carried either 10 or 11 last year, so it wouldn't be that much of a stretch.
All right, next on the list here. Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Jeremy, for this. Brad Kaya, will the Lions have three quarterbacks in the roster at the end of the 2017 season?
You bet your bottom dollar they will.
I'll buy that for a dollar.
Thank you, I think, Chris. We all agreed that there would be three to begin, right? I think we all think that all three quarterbacks are probably going to make the initial cuts. My question is,
unless someone is like super thirsty for a quarterback, I don't see them sending Jake Rudock back to the practice squad.
No, I don't think that would happen at all.
I just can't stand keeping three quarterbacks on the roster, and I don't think Bob Quinn does either, and I don't know how it's going to happen, but I don't think they're going to finish with three quarterbacks on the roster by week 17.
I think physically, Kaya is just so much more talented than Rudock.
But here's the thing is, like, you remember what happened last year when they pulled Rudock up from the practice squad. That kind of same situation happened. It's going to happen a lot in the NFL, but I don't know. How real was the idea that the Bears were going to snatch away Rudock, really, versus, like, just hiring some gun off the streets instead? Like, I think that report that the Bears were looking to take the flyer on Rudock was a little overblown.
Well, like, it's weird because come December is like poaching season for people's practice squads. You're trying to build for next year, especially teams like the Bears that were completely out of it. So they're trying to say, hey, you know, we're obviously devoid of quarterbacks, and they weren't aware of their own, you know, love affair with Mitchell Trubisky yet. So they were going to take a flyer on Jake Rudock. And, I mean, if there's an argument that they're going to be three quarterbacks at the end of the season, that's it. Like, they're going to want to protect both of them from being poached at the end of the season. But to me, it's especially, like, it doesn't really make, and it didn't make a ton of sense to me last year, that for a team that's in the middle of a playoff run to be using one of their, you know, very important roster spots on a guy like Jake Rudock when there was almost a 0% chance he was ever going to see the field this year. Seemed a little crazy to me at the time.
Let me ask a real quick question that you guys can answer for me. If the Lions put Brad Kaya on their practice squad, do you think that he would last as long as Jake Rudock did?
No.
I don't know. I see no reason why not. I mean, he dropped that far. He dropped to the same round that Jake Rudock did.
Yeah, everybody's got needs, though, and I think that there's so much defensive talent that I don't know. The 49ers took C.J. Beathard, and that's more obtrusive than what Quinn did with Kaya.
See, here's the thing. Well, both Iowa related. I gotta say there, Rudock and Beathard both Iowa related. But here's the thing, is that, you know, you talk a lot, Jeremy, and this is always the argument you've been having with Ryan and Alex and whatever about Kaya versus Rudock. You talk about how far Kaya dropped. Rudock never dropped. Rudock was right about where he was expected to be, maybe even a little higher. That's where I get a little more concerned when it comes to the practice squad poaching. If someone says, okay, he was higher up before, maybe that's where he could go.
But who did he drop from? He dropped from the media's expectation. That doesn't mean anything.
Or it means everything. Who knows? I don't even know what this means to these guys. You got to remember, too, some of these teams, I don't understand these teams, like the difference between their stuff and the media sometimes, just because we're all kind of guessing. So, hey, who knows how much overlap there is, Ja?
True.
Okay, sure. Last one, Pat O'Connor. What percentage does Pat have to make the final 53, and what percentage to go to the practice squad?
I don't think Pat O'Connor has any chance of making the team. Best of luck to him. I hope he works his tail off and he maybe even takes like Anthony Zettel's spot. no, you know, ill will against Anthony Zettel, but he didn't do a whole lot to impress me last season. He seemed like he was always really slow off the snap. I know you love him, Chris, because he, you know, spears trees. I'm all about spearing things, but one thing that, you know, Anthony Zettel might not be able to spear is a spot on the roster.
Ah, I think it's pretty high to see Pat O'Connor go to the practice squad. I think it's a pretty high chance. I want to put a percentage on it because all percentages are bullshit. Let's say 69% chance he goes to the practice squad.
I was going
to
say 70. I was going to say 70.
That's a little more a little than high. A night. Like, well, I like my just high. Just high.
Okay.
I'll go 2% to make the final 53 and 68% to make the practice squad.
You guys are just off a very, very nice percentage that I have.
Just a small, nice margin.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a quick break here. We got to get into the mailbag. I believe we have a review, and I want to say a few words, so stick around. Mail time! Hashtag AskPOD to get everything in. We've got a few things to take care of first before we begin. Jeremy, let's get to it. What's our review?
We've got a review, and it's a strange one, even by our own standards. The review is from LionLover69, yet the title of the review is Rights of Bears, and it reads, "As both a vegan and a fan of the Chicago Bears, I find it disgusting that these quote-unquote hosts would use the phrase, quote, we own the Bears, unquote. Bears are God's creatures, just like humans, and you have no right to claim to own them. I have been petitioning the NFL to remove all animal mascots as they are very offensive. You Lions fans are just jealous that you didn't trade up to take Mitch Trubisky. And by the way, Blake Bortles is not a top 10 quarterback. 5 stars.
I was about to ask for the rating on that. I like it.
I think the comment deserves 5 stars. We don't. Everything we do on this podcast from here on out is going to fall in disservice to that comment.
Pretty much.
Like, why are we even doing this? Can we just wrap it in? Can we tuck this in and go home?
I've got something to say before we jump in on this too, though.
Oh.
It's been something I've been wanting to say and probably go off on a Twitter. What?
Sorry, I said Jerry Blake style. I've got something to say.
Someone threw me off my game. Thank you.
Someone will get that reference and they'll appreciate it and tweet at me.
No one will get it. Thank you. Okay. I might say this on Twitter. If not, I'll probably revisit it on Twitter at some point. Most people on there will see it, but I've been kind of iffy about letting this out just because I'm trying to hold down a job and everything too, and I don't want them finding out about some of the stuff until I'm good and ready, but I've got big shit going on in my life. I know I haven't written much lately, and I don't know. Maybe I'll write something. I'll definitely be writing something for the Taste the Lions thing. And this isn't a goodbye in any case to the site, but I just wanted to share this because, well, the staff knows. The staff knows. I've not really had the best of a couple of years where I am, and I've decided I needed a turn on some shit. And kind of on a fucking whim, I applied for grad school, and I got in to the University of Southern California. It was a big thing. I'm going to be doing journalism. It's probably not going to be sports journalism unless for some reason I take another weird turn in my life, but fuck, I'm not good with sentimental shit. Just wanted to say thanks. Wanted to say thanks because I've kind of kept my mind together by doing podcasts through all these years. And, man, I was in some weird places before I came on to Pride of Detroit. I think I ended up writing my application to join from, like, a hotel room in Chicago. not the best of places, but maybe it was ominous. Sean gave me a shot after asking me to rewrite a news article about
Ryan Broyles
retiring. Ryan Broyles retiring. Yep. I believe you might have edited it for your entry, Ryan.
I might have.
Might have. Our relation began that day, not even knowing.
So, somehow you managed to not call him Brian Broyles in your article.
Brian Broyles. Maybe that was something Ryan had to correct. I don't know. All I know is that Nick Swanson kept happening after that day, so I'm glad he didn't ask me about that. But, no, I kind of came out of fucking nowhere. I wasn't in the comments. I wasn't even posting on SB Nation at all, really, until started doing this shit. And I don't know. You guys have been awesome. This podcast has been great. It's been fantastic to really see. It's been almost two goddamn seasons. Two goddamn seasons. Two full seasons of this coming up here in August. And it's been great. Ryan told me to keep going at it, even when I was about to bitch out because I was terrified of my money situation. So thank you to Ryan for helping me keep going in this direction. And just wanted to get this out here in case I die in a flaming ball on my way to drive myself and my fat ass cat out to California, which will happen probably near the end of July. And I don't know where I'm going to go from there. I really don't. I'm going to try like hell to keep doing this podcast, though. I'm going to be really fucking busy, but you guys have been awesome, all of you. The people in here and the people listening to the podcast. Thank you.
There are plenty of things that you're adequate at, Chris, but that was superb.
Don't fucking make me take everything back, Jesus Christ. I don't like this shit.
You son of a bitch. I was going to say, well, you've done a damn adequate job, my friend.
I wanted to say something a little more than that, and I'm struggling to, because even though I want to go into journalism, apparently I fucking suck speaking, so.
I fucking suck speaking. We'll work on it, Chris.
Work in progress to move up from adequate to above average, yeah. So, but again, there'll probably be something on Twitter at some point. I'm just kind of keeping on the low right now because I'm trying to make sure that I can keep collecting paychecks until I move out of here. But I wanted to say something at some point to the people who listen to this podcast because y'all have been along for this ride and just looking how this damn thing has grown and what we're talking about doing in the future here too. We've got some big plans behind the scenes for the Pride of Detroit podcast and I wish I could share it with you guys. And all I can do is I can hope I can be around for a lot of them. And we'll just make sure we can do some fun things. We'll keep bringing you Toto. And who knows what else we're going to cook up. We'll just say that.
And let me just say, like, you came to me very quickly after I kind of came aboard as the managing editor that you wanted to do the podcast. And that's something that I thought the site needed for a very long time. I was a little wary about my own involvement because I also talk bad. I talk real bad. But you kind of took the reins completely on this and I let you kind of go free with it. And it has been by far my favorite thing to do for the site every week.
Like
I look forward to Monday nights recording this because it's a lot of fun.
I was going to say, I'm not trying to toot my horn here, but I feel like every time every one of us, including Alex, gets in here and sits down to record one of these things, we do kind of get a little closer as a staff. So I share that sentiment completely.
And it also has become an extremely fun way to interact with fans. Like, we've developed a whole culture around the podcast, and sometimes it bleeds over into Pride of Detroit itself. Sometimes it just stays at the podcast, but it's been the most rewarding thing I've done for the site. And you're really to thank for the entire thing. So
don't start praising me. Don't do that. It's the worst thing to do.
We know these things will get underneath your skin, so we'll keep doing it.
Yeah,
you want me
Christ.
To go? I'll go now.
Sure,
Chris,
we got to get onto this mailbag, but holy shit. Fine.
When we started the podcast, I was there from day one. And granted, you haven't missed any because the podcast would be nothing and nowhere without you. But yeah, I can only really say what Jeremy said. You know, it's been... I don't want to make this sound like a send-off, because even you said that this isn't necessarily a send-off. It's not a goodbye.
It's not a send-off. It's not a goodbye. It's
not a goodbye at all.
I wanted to thank people for this.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Everyone's talking about me now.
Dude, there was somebody who put in their yearbook, it was Carter Bright, who put... his senior quote was from Toto's Africa. So, like, I mean, this thing has turned into something that I couldn't even imagine. Like, we've taken it places where I had no idea it would. I mean, it turned into Jim Caldwell's face photoshopped on Wonder Woman with watches as his gauntlets. I mean, it's morphed into something that even I kind of sit back and I just wonder how it's gotten to this point. So, but a lot of it has to do with your choice.
We created our own word list cast. That word didn't exist before.
No, it didn't. Not in all capitals, at least. No, I like it, man. I was doing a smaller one before this. I was doing some college football stuff, but I mean, this is why I follow this team, and I love the people especially on Twitter. If you're not part of, I almost feel like we have like a POD or a POD cast Twitter at this point. People we know who listen to the podcast, who get our humor, who follow us all on there, who are talking about the Lions or our own dumb jokes.
At some point we might do a spinoff Twitter account, because I know some other podcasts do that. Like, they have
a separate brand.
Yeah. And we can tweet about wrestling and food all you want from that account.
Hey, I only did it once while you were gone.
I know.
Well, I managed to get,
ten tweets total.
Listen, I managed to get Chris Jericho into this Ask POD thing, so you're slacking. Speaking of that, we should probably take the questions. I've done way more navel gazing than I hope to do. Thank you all. Okay. I want to start here because I told Smog's Gold Coin I would tell him which one. He wanted a favorite horror movie list cast. Don't think we have time to do all five, but what's your favorite horror movie?
Get Out.
Does that count?
I don't know.
I mean, do you count Cabin in the Woods as a horror movie? Because if you do, you have to count Get Out.
I feel like Get Out is more of a thriller than it is a horror movie.
It is, but... It's also got classic like tropes from horror movies, so I think it should count. Like,
yeah, and I mean,
murder porn to be horror.
No, not by any means. I get what you're saying though too, and that kind of ties in with what Chris said. With, you know, if you're gonna think that Get Out is a, or if you're gonna think Cabin in the Woods is a horror movie, then Get Out is also one too, just because they do have so many tropes that normal horror movies do. I would have to say that Get Out would be mine too, but I'm not gonna use your answer as well. I'm going to go with the original Halloween. I don't know why, but that movie still creeps me out. I'll watch it. I'll turn it on every once in a while, but there's something about a guy in like a William Shatner mask that's all painted white and a mechanic suit.
William Shatner mask.
It is.
That's what it is.
It's William Shatner.
What it is. I just love it. Jeez.
I mean, there's something about that guy hanging out in like the middle of broad daylight in a neighborhood and like just being able to be scary, like peering around a tree. So.
Scary Terry.
No.
Now I'm just thinking Nightmare on Elm Street, don't I?
Do.
No,
too vulgar.
Yeah.
I like how Michael Myers didn't talk.
It's Alien for me. Someone finally answered it. I went in on the thread because no one had said Alien, and I think it was who said this? It was Mike 2000. I'm trying to find it here. Yeah, it's a long thread out. Yeah, Mike 2000. He said Alien, so shout out to him. That's the best horror movie. Can't wait for Covenant.
Really? You excited for it?
I am. I just rewatched Prometheus the other day, and I am jacked up again.
Did you like Prometheus? I thought that was okay. I think a lot
of
people didn't. It's not my genre, but
So it's not as horror as say Alien, but what I enjoy about it, and what I've always enjoyed about Alien, and what I mean, Alien had a lot of different themes going through it, you know, just by the design of the alien itself, about pregnancy, motherhood, and a lot of horrors. You know, the alien design from Geiger is always like a symbol of like phallic. phallic imagery, rape, all those kind of things kind of run through it. But Prometheus touched on something I think that's always been running through the Alien franchise, and I thought it touched on it a little more raw in Prometheus was... I'm a fan of Star Trek. I'm a fan of Star Trek because it's a very bold vision of the future. It's a very optimistic view, and it's all about discovery and finding new places, new people, to boldly go where nowhere we've gone before. Prometheus, I thought, touched on the dark side of that kind of same spirit of discovery. Because it had that same kind of, we will go out to find new places, new people, new civilizations. But it was always tinged with that gothic horror of that you're reaching out into the abyss and there, what you are going to find is going to be wonderful. It's going to be brilliant, but it is also going to be lethal and it's going to be very terrifying.
All right.
And that's what I think what Prometheus got right. There was a lot of tension to Prometheus. It was really building up to something. Maybe the final crescendo wasn't great, but it was always building up to that sense of wonder of what you're going to find. And in this case, it just turned into a nightmare at the end.
I just pre-ordered my ticket to Alien Covenant.
Well, I've also been told Michael Fassbender's character David is reappearing in Covenant as like an essential character, and I fucking loved him in Prometheus. Like, probably top five film androids right there.
Spoiler!
Are we in a spoiler for a list cast? We do have another list cast coming very soon, I think.
We'll have plenty of list casts coming up.
Someone's asking here, best RPGs list cast, and I could do a full list cast on that. No? Jeremy says no?
You just guys are hitting on my least favorite genres of everything. I do not enjoy RPGs.
None? Not even Japanese or not even Western? None of them?
I just don't like the format of those. I'd rather...
Skyrim? Mass Effect? Witcher? None of them?
Yeah. Nope.
But there's just been so many good RPGs that have come out recently.
I'm sure they're great for people who like those kind of games. They're just not my jam.
Yeah. Jeremy just likes, you know, Call of Duty.
Point and shoot. Baby.
But a lot of these are point and shoot.
No, you gotta talk to people. You gotta dig around in chests. No, I mean, I love Fallout.
I just don't like gathering, like, having an inventory full of, like, 2,000 items and turn-by-turn fighting. Like, all that stuff is just, it rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah. Let me say, I definitely like Fallout, and I don't know why. I do know why. Let me tell you why. I like Fallout more than I like Elder Scrolls. I never really got into, like, Skyrim or Oblivion or anything like that.
You're talking, like, 3 and 4. You're not talking the one Fallout 1 and 2.
No, I'm talking, like, 3. Even New Vegas with all of its bugs and brokenness, like, I still enjoyed that. Like, I enjoyed the hell out of that. But it's so much about, like, the aesthetic and everything. I love the dystopian. I love the trapped in the 50s with all the swing music and everything. And, yeah, I don't know. That game's aesthetic does more for me than maybe even the game itself. Because, I mean, like, I dig Bioshock, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of the problem, too, is, like, Bioshock's not even a full RPG, but it's kind of in this year of video games where everything's hybridized, everything has elements of each other.
Right.
Most, like, RPGs are now, like, shooters.
Yeah, it's a very light RPG, like, quasi-RPG.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I just wanted to list off my, again, not going to do a full list cast, I just might as well get... By the way, this one's from Theoretically... we should say the name for the question. I gotta say, like, anything from the Mass Effect games I really liked. I even liked Andromeda a lot. Like, I know that got panned, but I thought Mass Effect Andromeda was a very strong entry. Mass Effect 2 is probably the best one of those, but also a very old one everyone references a lot, Planescape Torment. Like, old PC kind of RPG game. This is a really fucked up game. There's some great older RPGs out there, and I'm sure there's some great Japanese ones. I never got into the Japanese RPG stuff. I don't like the turn-based shit. I don't like Final Fantasy. I haven't liked any Final Fantasy. I try. Lord knows I try.
That's where I fall. There was weirdly one game for the Sega Dreamcast that I guess could be defined as an RPG called Shenmue that I got obsessed Shenmue? With.
Yeah, I remember that game, actually. Yeah, yeah. I think I played the second one. Yeah. Pokemon. It's RPG. I like that.
No. But with Shenmue, whatever how you pronounce it, it popularized the quick action button thing, like quick time event, where like they went to a cutscene and you'd have to hit a button by a certain time.
Yeah,
Like, I think that game is credited with starting that trend in video games, and that was pretty revolutionary.
It wasn't
a
great trend, though, I found.
I like it.
But I'm just saying, like, some games really abused the quick time thing.
Like Until Dawn.
Until Dawn. Where it doesn't matter if you do it or not.
Yeah.
Because it's all about whether or not you gave that chick the flare gun.
Or shot her in the eye.
Hey. Sticking on the topic of top of list casts, Chris Resist from Twitter, could you please do a top five list casts?
Oh, God. I'd have to go back. I know definitely the running back list cast would be in there.
I was going to say that, too, because we got to have it on there for Jeremy Langford.
I'd say last year's quarterback was probably my favorite list cast because I got made fun of for putting Matthew Stafford on there.
Thanksgiving with Kyle Yost.
Oh, Thanksgiving was a really good one with the side dish.
We wish Jeremy would have been there, but we kind of shat on him about the green bean casserole from a distance.
No, I'm all about green bean casserole.
No, that's right. What were we crapping on Jeremy about for that one? I don't remember.
No, we crapped on Kyle about fruit salad.
No, I know that. I know that.
Oh, we know that. Like, yeah, I mean, what if we had to make a list cast of like the top list cast entries? Like Jeremy Langford, fruit salad.
Do we have anything for
Planet of the Apes?
N.E. Shaw asks us, does Alex Reno naturally sound like Matthew Stafford, or is he doing a constant impression a la Ryan Matthews, Jesse Camp? Sorry, Ryan's eating fish right now, so we might have startled him with that. Ryan, when you're done making faces and eating, can you please give us Jesse Camp's take on what Alex Reno is doing with his voice? Is that his natural voice?
Man, listen here, guys. I'm eating some fish, and that might be my favorite dish, but what I like to dish on is Alex Reno, man. And let me tell you what, he just kind of sounds like Matthew Stafford enough where he will drive you fucking nuts, man. Like, whoa. But first of all, let's kick it to our number one entry on the list, NSYNC's Bye Bye Bye.
I can't do this. Perfect. I can't do this. All right. William Treach asks, Treese, I think I'm saying it right, like Greece. Better Matt Damon line. How you like them apples from Good Will Hunting or applesauce bitch from Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back?
I'm going to opt for any line that Leonardo DiCaprio would have had because Matt Damon would have done it better.
Really?
Ugh. God, Ryan, you're the worst.
How do you do that when they're both... Weren't they both in The Departed?
They were.
Yeah.
And only one of them stood out.
Yep.
Oh, stop it. Matt Damon carried that movie.
You know what? My favorite Matt Damon line might have to be the last one from that movie. And on the sake of not spoiling it, I'll just say the line. Okay.
That was the right kind of delivery, just not enough Boston in it.
Yeah, let me try. I don't have the Boston in me. I have too much South in me.
I would love to hear you try, though.
Okay. That was fucking awful. Can we do that again?
No. You do not cut that out. I will.
I'm not cutting it out, but I want to try again.
Okay.
We're getting there.
Let's not try to get there. Let's move on to another question. Critical Respective asks us, do you like the overtime rules the way they are, or would you prefer to see changes?
I'd prefer to see one change. I think that if the team who gets the ball first scores a touchdown, the other team should get a chance to match.
Yeah, that's basically college rules, pretty much, right?
But you're not starting at, like, a certain down and... Or you're not starting at, like, a certain place on the field.
No, but I'm just talking strictly scoring. The scoring procedure to work exactly like college.
Yeah, essentially.
Essentially.
Yeah.
I'm with that too. And I think I'm fine with it turning to sudden death after a possession for each team.
Yeah, I'm totally on board with that too.
Tough Links asks us, which is better? Most of us have grown up with chocolate milk made from Nestle's Quick. There's also a strawberry Quick. Which one is your favorite?
Strawberry Quick.
Yeah, I was all about that strawberry Quick. Although, low-key underrated, cookies and cream.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, God. You want good chocolate milk, just add a little, like, I didn't even have the Quick. It was just Hershey syrup. Use a little chocolate syrup in there. Two, ain't nobody drinking strawberry milk. I ain't doing that shit.
What? I am. Go Jeremy.
Missing out.
I'm not doing it. Not doing it.
Yeah, you're missing out completely.
Maybe.
You know what's really good too? I mean, if Jeremy wants to submit cookies and cream, vanilla milk is really good.
Vanilla milk.
Whoa. Now we're talking crazy. Well, look at this. Remember getting that out of like a tin can?
I remember the tin can. Yeah, and this isn't a visual medium. He is holding up his phone to show us an image of a tin of Nestle's cookies and cream.
When did they sell things in tins?
Back, you know, probably about 20 years before you were born or so.
Always 20 years. Josh LaFond, friend of enemy of the show.
Thank you.
Whoa, yeah, get that right.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, I'm trying to remove it. When will Car Talk become its own segment? I speak for the fan base, we miss it.
I think Car Talk should be a spin-off Jesse Camp's podcast.
We're just combining every dumb thing we can come up with.
Hey guys, listen, I don't want to bore us, but check out this Ford Taurus, man. It's spinning on 6 cylinders. It's got 180 horses underneath that hood. What? Listen, man, drugs are crazy, man. Beautiful. Speaking of drugs, RIP to our number one entry on this list. It Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana.
Oh, Josh had a better question here, too, about what's the best movie snack other than popcorn?
The best movie snack other than popcorn is wearing a large jacket with a lot of pockets on it so you can bring in 3 tall boys from the gas station.
Pretty much.
Brian, we're going to need to get you an intervention one of these days.
If we're talking from the concession stand, it's snow caps.
Snow caps are pretty good. They're definitely underrated.
I will not eat snow caps anywhere else but the movie theater.
I feel like this could be a very good list cast, by the way. You might want to save it, but I'm pretty sure my number...
Movie concession list cast?
I'm definitely going Sour Patch Kids, and I might even go like the watermelon-specific ones.
Can you get those in the movie theater now?
I don't know if you can, but you can definitely get regular Sour Patch Kids.
See, I love Sour Patch Kids, but that's the thing. Like, I don't know if they're sold in movie theaters, so I went with snow caps. Because I know you can get popcorn in movie theater, I know you can get snow caps, I know you can get Raisinets.
You can get Butterfingers in movie theaters.
Okay, thank you.
No, you can't.
You get the mini ones that come in the box.
BBs?
No, not those. They're like the little mini bars. You've never had them, Jeremy? Are you kidding me?
Who sells those at a movie theater?
The movie theaters that I go to. The movie theaters I go to, you can also bring in beer to the... I mean, you can't technically, but you can do it.
Are they the same kind of movie theaters that Pee Wee Herman goes to?
Will you stop it?
Let's get some Lions questions now. Brett Cugno asks us, and I love this question, why is no Lion taking the number 3 since Joey Harrington left? Even Kitna switched from 3 to 8 when he came to Detroit.
No one wants to be that piano player for the team. Designated piano player.
Any theories, Ryan?
Why wouldn't you want to wear the number 3? I don't know.
That is a very good question. We're going to have to figure this out. We're going to have to do some investigative reporting on this. Thank you, Brett. Mike Holman, what position on the roster are you still scared to think about? Linebacker. Still linebacker for me.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like the go-to answer. And I think linebacker is definitely still a scary spot. But beyond A'shaun Robinson, I'm not too sure about anybody on the defensive line. Well, save Ziggy Ansah. But, like, those two guys, like... I'm concerned about the other side of the defensive line. I don't know what Haloti-Ngata we're going to get. I don't know if Kerry Hyder was a flash in the pan. I'm not sure if Cornelius Washington can be healthy for an entire season. I don't trust Anthony Zettel. I don't trust Pat O'Connor. I'm sorry, guys. I just don't know you. It's not you. It's me.
Yeah, and I'll go a little bit more specific and just say defensive tackle specifically, and that's why I was saying Jeremiah Ledbetter could have a kind of easy path to making the 53-man roster because, I mean, when one of your starters is a 30-whatever-year-old Haloti-Ngata, that's a problem to me, and Ledbetter could get some real significant time because they're that thin at the position, and it was one of their worst positions last year, so, and I don't really see it much better, if at all better.
Last question here. Joseph R. Sweeney 5 asks us, if POD was to do a meetup for a Lions home game, what would be your preference? Man, we've been talking about this more and more. This might have to become a reality soon.
Yeah, we'll probably have to do it at Founders once they finish construction.
That's right. They're coming to Detroit, aren't they?
Yeah, they'll be in Corktown, I'm pretty sure. They're going to be near Corktown. And it opens up in November or December of this year.
We're going to have to start making connections so we could do like a live show there or something.
That would be intense. That would be the holy grail of podcasts.
I mean, I've had friends who've done live shows before. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it this year because of everything else going on with me, but I mean, try to find a way to set this stuff up or at least meet people for this because, like, yeah, it would be great. It'd be fantastic.
I mean, it would make probably most sense to do like Lions Steelers, the Sunday night game at home, just because that would give us like all day to do it, to have a little meetup and watch the other games, and none of us would be too busy during the early part of the day. But
or maybe even during the preseason.
We could do a preseason, maybe.
Because there will be like at least like one night preseason game, right? Or all of them usually are, right?
They did release the schedule. I think most of it, there was one 1 p.m. game, but most of them are at night. Yeah. Also, just to let you know, I looked up the history of the number 3 for the Detroit Lions. Since Joey Harrington, there has been 2 players that have sported that number. One was Dave Rayner. The other was Nate Freese, whose career approximate value, according to Pro Football Reference, is -1.
Sounds like the snow caps of players.
Ooh, shots fired.
You son of a bitch.
What was your answer? I don't even remember your answer. Did you give
his
an answer?
His answer was just was Hocking in beer.
Oh. Three Miller Lights for like $5 from the
His answer
gas
was
station.
Alcoholism.
Can I go drink wine now?
Yeah, we're done.
Only if you delete your Snapchat account first.
Didn't even talk about that in this podcast. Thanks, everyone. We'll
see
you
next
week.
We don't need to talk about it. See you guys.
Bye.
To pick from a sheet of numbered sexual positions to simulate and now have credits like quote vigorous hand job guy quote on IMDb.
Anything else?
Nope. I'm done with the hand jobs. We're not recording, are we?
Yes, we are.
Got him.
Podcast is a goddamn trap.